Let's pray together. Father, it is our desire this morning to hear this good news and to rejoice with great gladness in the gift of your Son, Jesus, and to go from this place living for his glory. May that be the effect of our being together here on this most holy of days, when God became man, that men might become the sons and daughters of God. Pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Merry Christmas. So glad you all made it this morning. And I can't think of a better way to spend Christmas Day than here in the house of the Lord. I was sharing with my future son-in-law. I asked him, I said, he and Kat are spending their first Christmas away. I asked him, I said, are y'all going to church? He said, well, we've never gone to church at our house on Christmas Day. I said, well, you know, it was called Christ Mass because it was the Mass to celebrate the birth of Christ. That's how it all began. He's like, huh, so I guess I have a pretty secular view of Christmas. I said, maybe so. So I texted him this morning. Good news, he and Kat are going to an Anglican church in Knoxville, so praise the Lord. But I joke about that, but our idea of Christmas can be really warped by what the culture says, can't it? Our expectations and our thought process about what it means to celebrate Christmas can really be diluted by a consumeristic, chaotic culture. And this morning, what I want to call us to is to reorient our understanding of Christmas around the meaning of Christmas, the person of Christmas, who is Jesus the Christ. And to remember that the whole point of this day, as we come into this space and as we gather our hearts and our lives together, is to remember that what we've been given is an invitation into a relationship with the living God. That he wants to make us brand new. He doesn't want to just give us new stuff. He wants to make us brand new. He wants to do something new in and through our lives by the power of his grace. And he wants us to live every day as a gift and live it unto his glory. Now, I want to say, in your family and in my family, we have these people that are bigger than life that drive our family celebrations, don't we? For me, in my family, it was my grandfather. But today, what I hope we see is the person that ought to garner our affection, our celebration, our attention this day ought to be the person, Jesus Christ. So, I want to just hold up to you John chapter 1. I have 3 points, no poem, but that was a joke. Anyway, I do have 3 points, and they're pretty simple. God with us. And that's the point of this day. So let's look, beginning in the first 5 verses there. I want to talk about God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's a few things I want to pull out of these few verses this morning as we sprint through the first few verses of John 1. First thing is that God, we come to celebrate the fact today that God has so loved us that he became incarnate. Our faith is unique in that God didn't merely send a teacher. God didn't send some prophet. God didn't send some manuscript. God sent himself, the God-man, Christ Jesus. God so loved us that he took on flesh. He took on the reality of human nature so that he might enter into the brokenness of our lives, that he might enter into who we are. It was the Word of God, God the Son, who made himself known through the birth, born of a virgin, born man. But he was still God. Notice what the text says. It says, in the beginning. Now, what other book begins with in the beginning? Genesis, the creation account. John very intentionally calls us back to the fact that Jesus Christ is the creator. He is the one by whom and for whom and through whom all things are created. This is the one who's come this morning. This is the one who has come to offer himself as our ransom and to call us into relationship. It is the very God who spoke into existence all things. He is God come down. He was in the beginning. He was pre-existence. He is creator. But he didn't merely create all things and then take his hands off. The reason for his incarnation is because God is still intimately concerned with you and with me. He came down so that he could redeem, remake, renew through relationship our lives. The fall broke everything. If you go back to Genesis, shortly after the words, in the beginning God created, etc., 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 you see that there was another actor in the garden, the devil, who came to deceive and to destroy. And through the fall, everything that God made good and very good was broken. And God, in this birth, in the birth of the Christ child, brings about the rebirth of all things. God has come down to recreate you and me. This is a God-sized thing. God wants to remake us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Through the offering of his grace on the cross, God has come to do what only God can do. God has come not only to create the first time, but he's come today to recreate you and me. Now, I want to hold that out to you because, you see, folks, we're not here just to embrace a philosophy. We're not even here just to embrace a moral code. We are here because we believe that in knowing Christ and being known by him, we can be made brand new. The worst things of our life can be forgiven. The broken parts of us can be mended. The lost things can be found. Because Jesus Christ, who spoke and created, can speak over us, you are forgiven. He can speak over us, you are made new. Why? Because he is God. So today we are coming not just to celebrate the birth of some child and laid in some manger. We are coming to celebrate the fact that God himself has broken into creation to recreate us. And it is a God-sized miracle that we come to witness this morning. God was the Word that pre-existed all things. God is the Word that creates and recreates all things. But I want you to see this too. God is the Word who comes down to shine a light in the midst of the darkness. On this day, I don't know about you, but when I look around at the world, when I see what's happening in the world, I so need the presence of God. I so need the promise that God is not some far away off missing somewhere, but he's really right near here. When I look at what my children are facing, I need to know that they're not dependent upon me. I need to know that they can depend on God. I need to know that their resources are not limited by my resources, but that God has something for them that's bigger and better than I can do for them. When I talk to my bishop friend, I talked to John, Bishop John in Michina just this week, and he said, there are warplanes flying over dropping bombs on my people. Would you pray for us? You won't hear it on the news. The Kachin are a small and forgotten people in the northern part of Myanmar who every day struggle to eat and to live. And Bishop John and a faithful group of priests travel from village to village to village to village to provide food and comfort in the best way they know how. And what he was saying to me and what he said to me is, it's good to know that God has not forgotten us, that God is for us. You see, dear ones, that's the thing that we come to celebrate today. It is that God is with us. God. God, the all-powerful, almighty Creator, is with us. Second thing I want you to see is that he is with us. Look at verses 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came to bear witness. He came to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. First of all, I think I want you to see this, is that this coming of God to be with, that word with, it reminds us that his coming was personal. It's personal. You see, not only did this God come into the world to recreate all things, but he came in a way that was very, very personal. John goes about into the wilderness calling people, saying, hey, look, God is coming for you. God is coming for you. God is coming for you in the midst of your broken place, in the midst of your hard circumstance, in the midst of whatever it is that's fallen in your life. God's coming for you. He wants you to come to the table. He wants you to be called his own. He wants you to be in his family. It's not some random general announcement. God is pleading through the prophet John with people face to face, eye to eye, would you come to Jesus? And when Jesus comes, he says, for any of you who would believe in me, for any of you who would receive me, I will save you. You will be made brand new. Will you receive me? It's personal. So you see, this gift of God coming into creation is not some general announcement that we celebrate today and forget for the rest of the year. But today and every day, God is saying, I want you. I want you. I love you. I want you to love me. Will you receive me? Will you walk with me? Will you follow after me? Will you obey me? I have your best in my heart. I have your good in my will. Would you trust me? Would you live with me? Would you walk with me? It's very personal. And that's the call today. God doesn't want us to just say, yay, God came into the world. God wants us to say, God is my God. Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord. I surrender all that I am. I have received his gift of mercy, and I give him all that I am and all that I have for all of his glory. Some of us have already exchanged gifts. Some will do it later. But oftentimes, when I give you a gift, you give me a gift, yes? The exchange gifts. The gift that God wants to give us is he wants to remake us and renew us. And the gift that God gives through our lives is that he calls others into his presence. You see, it's the gift that keeps on giving. When God gives us the gift of new life, he says, now go give that gift to somebody else. Go invite your neighbor, go invite your family member, go invite your friend to come and experience this gift too. It's very personal, but it's very present too. It's not something that you can put off to some time later. When the shepherds were called to go see the Christ child, they dropped everything and they left immediately. When the wise men saw the star in the sky, they left home and began the journey towards the Christ child. This morning, as the light of Christ has come into the world and as it's being held up for you today, the invitation is that you would come today, right now, in the present, anew to Jesus. He has personally come for you. He is presently calling you. And when you do, he will work powerfully in you. This is the promise of the Christmas gift. You know, when the disciples, when they came to Jesus, they were nobodies. The outcasts and the forgotten. When the shepherds heard the call of the angels, they were nobodies. People that nobody wanted around. All the broken people that heard the call of Jesus and came to him, their lives were made different. I mean, I want you to think in the genealogy of Jesus alone, how you have women, unheard of. Not only women, but women that most people wouldn't want to list in their genealogy because of their past, but because of who God made them to be, they're there. And we're just like that, because God takes all of us broken people and powerfully remakes us and works in us and works through us for his own glory to see the world redeemed and renewed and restored. So today, God has come down. God has come down to be with you, to personally, presently, and powerfully work in you. God is with us. Now, it's not just you, but he's come down to be with us, with all of us. As we each and everyone receive Christ and as we live together, we are made into the church, the body of Christ. And look what verse 14 says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he comes after me, ranks before me because he was before me." And from his fullness we have all received. How many of us have received? All have received grace upon grace. For the law was given to Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Two things I want you to see. First of all, God came and tabernacled among us. He came down to be among us so that we could see his glory. And then when we have seen God's glory, as we live for Christ together, as the body of Christ, as I see God at work transforming your life, as I hear the story of God remaking and renewing you, as you share in my story of struggle and strife and see God miraculously inject himself into my story and remake my story, as we share these things together, as we see God work in our lives together, then we are remade, renewed together so that we can go out and retell the story to the world. God is with us so that we can experience grace, but he is with us so that the others out there who today are alone and without hope, who don't know that God so loved them, who don't know that God has come for them, they don't have to stay there. We can tell them the story. We can show them mercy. We can extend to them forgiveness. We can offer them grace. We can tell them the truth. We can invite them into the family. We can love them in the midst of their brokenness. We can help them in the midst of their need. We can hold them as they weep and celebrate with them as they rejoice. We can do all of that because we have received God come down in the person of Jesus. We have been powerfully and presently indwelt by God and remade by God so we can give to others his good graces that have been given to us. So today, here's what I want to say to you. The greatest gift that you could receive is to hear this good news. You have been loved by God. You are so loved by God that he took on the form of man, was born of a virgin, was obedient, as St. Paul says in Philippians, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. He has loved you and paid for your sin. And now he invites you to receive him, to walk with him in relationship. He then says to all who will receive him to go. Go and retell the story. The world in which we live for is looking for answers. Answers to hard problems. Answers to real difficulties. The answer is found in Christ. Hatred will only be done away with as we receive love. Truth will only be seen in the light. Forgiveness is only possible as we receive forgiveness from Christ. So will we take these gifts that we have received from him and give them away to the world, that we might see the world made different? You see, the Christian life is summed up a little bit in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only way is if we've received the gift of forgiveness, extended it, if we've embraced the love of God and then opened our arms to love others. So may this Christmas we receive anew and afresh the gift of God's love. May we celebrate the reality of God's presence. And may we spend the next year making much of God to all whom he puts in our lives. Amen.